Agenda item number six, report and possible discussion on legislative update by Matt Phillips, Government and Customer Relations Manager.
Well, we were joking over there. That's a tough agenda item to follow, as usual. Sorry, David. It's time for our January legislative update. As most of you know, the legislature convened earlier this month. As usual in the January update, I have very little to tell you because the legislative session tends to start pretty slow. The first month, the 6 weeks, are kind of spent organizing and getting to know everybody and figuring out where the bathroom is and where your office is and everything else. So not much is going on right now. I will say that on the Senate side, they have appointed committees, so they can at least start having hearings on bills that get referred to those committees. In terms of the committees that we work with, for the most part, they have not changed. The chairmen are the same, and the membership is pretty much the same, with the exception of a few new members. The House may be appointing committees sometime this week. It was supposed to come out last week, but hasn't yet, so assuming that'll happen this week. If nothing else, there will be a new chair of House Natural Resources because the previous chair retired, so we'll look forward to seeing when that actually starts. I am obviously not going to go into each one of these issues. The purpose of this slide is to tell you, to give you an idea of the number of things that at least one side of leadership or the other has announced are major priorities for the legislature this session. So that should give you an idea that there is a giant scattershot of things that the legislature deems to be major in priority that they are going to have to deal with. In a lot of sessions, there's usually one or two issues that tend to dominate the personality of a session. I think that had the Supreme Court declared the state system for funding schools unconstitutional, which they did not, but had they done that, then the legislature this session would be dominated by school finance. They are probably going to discuss school finance, but without quote unquote a requirement, having had that system declared unconstitutional, they don't have to, so they're free to focus on a bunch of other stuff. Budget will be at least somewhat of a big deal because the legislature has less money to spend this time around than they did last time. But again, I think what you'll end up seeing is a legislature that has, if you'll forgive me, kind of ADD. They're going to be dealing with a lot of different stuff and trying to accomplish a lot of different things that they deem to be their priorities. You'll notice one of the things that I didn't put on the major issues was water. I don't think water will be a major issue this session. I think it's had its time in the sun during the last couple of sessions. So I think most of the changes will be kind of teetering around the edges. As it relates to surface water permitting, there has been legislation filed already that was also filed in previous sessions that would put hard and fast statutory timelines on the surface water rights permitting process, so that would require that the steps in that process to happen within certain timeframes. Again, that was filed the last 2 to 3 sessions. It's never passed. The reason I think it doesn't pass is because it comes with a fiscal note. In order for TCEQ to implement those faster timeframes, they need more staff, and for more staff, they need more money. Particularly in a session like this where the legislature has less money, anything with a fiscal note I don't think is going to go anywhere. So I don't assume that bill will meet a different fate than it's met in the last few sessions. I assume it won't go anywhere. However, I do think there will be legislation filed, and I know that the Texas Water Conservation Association, of which we are a member, is proposing a few bills that will make some minor changes to the surface water permitting process, some of which is cleanup, like bringing technology to the permitting process, allowing you to submit GIS electronic coordinates when you file a permit for a diversion location, as opposed to having you to use an old paper map. So little things like that, but also placing timelines on how long permits can be at the State Office of Administrative Hearings. So putting an actual deadline on how long it takes for SOA to issue a proposal for decision, as opposed to permits staying there forever. And also putting some borders on who can be granted party status during a permitting process and when they can be granted party status. So you'll see some of those changes. Again, I think those are minor. I think those may have more of a chance of making it through because they can be accomplished within existing agency resources and don't cost money. Regional water planning. The Senate Ag and Water Committee spent a lot of time looking at this session. And their goal in looking at it is to say, look, we've had this regional water planning process in place for a while. Is it still working? Is it still doing what it's supposed to do? I think what you'll see come out of that discussion is some legislation filed related to transparency. There were some complaints during the interim process that not all regional water planning groups are complying with open meetings and open records, particularly the committees of those regional water planning groups. So they're not posting meetings, they're just having meetings. And so I think you'll see legislation to require them to have to comply with open meetings like most of the rest of us do. Flexibility and frequency. Right now, we do regional water planning every 5 years. It's required. I think that you'll see some legislation that will give some regions the option of pushing that to 10 years. There are some regions that don't have a whole lot of changes between their five-year planning increments, so it might give them the option of putting off each plan for a decade instead of doing it every 5 years. Groundwater districts, this is also discussed by both Natural Resources Committees. Are groundwater districts doing the job they're supposed to do, which is fairly regulate groundwater, or are some of them using their rules to hoard water? I think that's really the nuts and bolts of it. And if so, should the state step in and take a more prominent role in regulating groundwater? That's a big deal, and the legislature discusses it pretty much every session. I don't know that you'll see a whole lot of movement on that because local control tends to be where the legislature falls on that issue. So will they come in and the state take an overarching role in telling districts what to do? I highly doubt it, but it'll at least be discussed. And then the last one, flood planning. Haven't seen a whole lot of details on this because there's nothing that's been filed, but at least on the Senate side, there's some interest in creating a state flood plan similar to the state water plan. The last round of flooding, I think, got a lot of people spooked, particularly around the coast. So should we create regional entities such like the regional water planning groups to look at how prepared we are or aren't for the next major flood and what we should be doing to prepare ourselves? So I think you'll see some interest in that if there's a way to accomplish it without spending a ton of money. So with that, that's all I've got. Like I said, I'll probably have more for y'all in April, and I'm happy to answer any questions. Thank y'all.
Seeing none. Thank you, Matt.